Let me invite you this evening to take your Bible, please, and open with me again to the Gospel of Matthew, and the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter 25 tonight. We are in the midst of a series of messages on the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our series is entitled The Greatest Stories Ever Told, and tonight we want to continue on in that study. And in this series, as we consider the truth that our Savior taught us through the method of the parable. In these parables, we realize that we find rich truth that can be easily applied to our lives today. And I think an example of such a truth is found in the parable that we're going to consider tonight, which is the parable of the talents. A couple months back, I referenced this parable in another message that we entitled The Positive Side of Judgment. Tonight we want to come to this parable and actually consider it in more detail tonight. Tonight I want to offer an exposition of this parable that we would understand the wonderful truths that are revealed to us in it. I want you to look with me beginning in verse 14. We're going to read down through verse 30 and then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again for the joy and the blessing to be able to come and consider the truth of your word. We thank you for the parables of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth that they reveal and teach us. Father, I ask and pray that as we consider these earthly stories with heavenly meaning, that Father, you would teach us in all things, that you would direct our minds and our hearts tonight, that we would be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit of God has to say for us. Father, as we all hear the same message tonight, the reality is the application may be different for many of us. And Lord, I pray that we would be open to what the Spirit of God would have for us tonight. that we would allow him to teach us and to convict us, to correct us and to instruct us then in the ways of righteousness, that we might be profitable servants, ones in whom you would say, well done, good and faithful. And so, Father, we'll thank you and praise you. Bless our time and our study together. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, as we come to this parable, we realize that it is a rather familiar parable to us. It is a parable that reminds us that God has given to every believer gifts, abilities, positions, and opportunity for them to invest in the interest of the Lord's work. It has been said that there is no interest of Christ on earth not carried out by human labor. God has given to all of us the opportunity and the responsibility to fulfill his work. He has entrusted to every one of his servants some form of responsibility that we are to perform. And he has endowed us with the ability to perform that which he has given us to do. And what a blessing it is to know that our God has called us to partner together with him in the work and interest that he has upon this earth. God has a plan. He has that which he desires to accomplish in our lives, each and every one. And what a blessing it is to know that he has called you and I to help in that work. It is now our duty to faithfully fulfill those responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. So as we begin tonight, I want you to look with me at what I'm going to call the exposition of the parable. I want us to see what this parable and its context and all that it is means for us. And so I want to break it down for us tonight that we might be able to see and understand those things as revealed to us in this parable, the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents, as we begin tonight, I want you to see a description of the context. The description of the context. As you come to Matthew chapter 25, you recognize and realize, I trust, that this parable is found in one of the longer discourses of our Savior, known as the Olivet Discourse. It is part of his teaching and part of his instruction. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in these parables, is seeking to answer a question that he himself would raise in chapter 24. Look with me at verse 42 through verse 46. The Lord Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." The Lord Jesus Christ asked the question, who is a faithful servant? So we recognize this as part of the Olivet Discourse, and the Lord Jesus Christ is simply asking, who is a faithful, who is a wise servant or steward? And as you come to chapter 25, he's going to give us the answer to that question in two parables. We're going to consider the second tonight. The answer, again, is in the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. By teaching the parable of the talents, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that a faithful and a wise steward is one who will use those talents that he has been given for the glory of his Lord. There is the need for us to understand that the Lord Jesus desires that all of us use that which God has entrusted to us for his honor and for his glory. And so he shares this parable, the parable of the talents. As we go through this parable, it's important at the outset that we take some time to define the talents.
Again, verse 14 says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to one, to another he gave 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey." And then as you read through, we come to understand that a talent in the Lord's day was used to speak of a specific amount of money. Most scholars would say that it probably equaled in our day about $1,000. And so the reality is, in the reference here, in the story that the Lord is teaching, that we're talking about money. So here is a lord or a master, a house owner, who is going away on a journey. And as he is going off on that journey, he calls his servants together and says, "I'm going to entrust you with my household. I'm going to entrust you with my finances, and I want you to watch over them and use them for me." And so the reality is that he expected them to do their part with those finances. It's clear that he is talking here about money. But as you and I come to understand the meaning of this parable, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ isn't telling this story so that we understand how to use our finances well. He's not talking about how we should invest our money so that we can make even more money. That's not the purpose of this thought, but he is using a story that would have been common or understood by the people. In our study, we understand that the talent refers to that which God entrusts to us for the use of his glory. God gives to every believer something that belongs to him, that he wants to be used for his purposes and for his will to be accomplished. And that could be many things for us, but he desires that every servant who possesses those things use them to bring forth gain for his glory. To each one here this evening, God has given to you some sort of talent, some kind of possession, some ability that he wants you to invest for the cause of Christ. And I hope and trust that you understand that God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has something that he wants from each and every one of you as you are part of the body of Christ. God has given to you something. He has entrusted it to you. Some gift, some talent, some ability that you might be able to use that for the Lord and invest it in the kingdom of God. And understand there's a day coming that there will be an accountability. Notice with me the distribution of gifts. The distribution of gifts. In verse 14 and 15, we find that the master calls his servants and he informs them that he is leaving, that he is going on a long journey, and then he tells them that while he is away, he is going to give them a portion of wealth for them to use. I want you to notice that each servant was given a portion, and that not all portions were equal. But every servant was given a portion, but not all those portions were equal. To one he gave 5. To another he gave 2. To one he gave but 1 talent. Each according to their gifts and abilities as he understood them. And folks, God gives to all of us some gift, some ability, some possessions, that we might be able to use them for the glory of God. He doesn't necessarily distribute those gifts equally. Some he gives more, and some he gives less. But to each of his servants, there was a gift that is given, and each one was expected to do with his master's goods what the Lord and his master desired. I want you to notice something. 2 points of application. No servant was exempt from his master's goods. Therefore, we understand that all of God's servants today have responsibility in this life. You and I are not without responsibility in this life, in the Christian life. You are not exempt, and you cannot come and say to us, "Well, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't think there's anything I could do for God. There's no way that I could serve, so I'm exempt from this." Folks, God gives to every one of His servants according to their abilities. And by the way, can I say this to you? God today still is bestowing upon us opportunity, gifts, and talents for us to use. You know those might change over time? Your opportunities change over time. In this life and in this world in which we live, as we age, our opportunities will either increase and sometimes they might even decrease. God in our youth may cause us to carry a heavier load, and as we get older, He may lighten the load in some capacity and give us another load that we can bear that no one else can. Sometimes folks say things like this, "Well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm laid aside. There's not a whole lot I can do anymore for God. I used to do so much more. There's just not a whole lot less I can do for God these days." I think you're wrong. I think God has given you the opportunity of a thing we call time. And in that opportunity of time, He expects you to invest that time for the cause of Christ. So what am I supposed to use in that time? I got another word for you. Prayer. Because there are some who that God calls to bear the burdens of their youth, and to uphold the load and to carry it at that stage of their life. And the reality is, there needs to be those who can come alongside and pray. Many people look at a guy like Charles Haddon Spurgeon and say, "Wow, what a great preacher of the gospel." Do you realize why Charles Haddon Spurgeon was so powerful a preacher? He had a deep voice and he could resonate in a room. Nope. He was really smart, and all of his outlines were so clear and so easy to follow. You ever read one of Spurgeon's sermons? Sometimes you wonder what in the world he was getting at. He was a wordy fella. I have volumes in my library of some of his sermons, and I go to read through them sometimes, and I get about 4 pages in, and I go, "I got to stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. When does this sermon end? You guys think I go for a long time. Imagine how long he went when he's got about 20 pages in the sermon. I got 6. He has about 20. What gave him his power? Folks, while he was preaching, there was a room filled with men and women who prayed all the way through. There were people who prayed for him week after week and day after day. He was not a perfect man. He had his struggles in this life. But God used him because others, God said, "I'm going to give you the opportunity of time to pray." See, folks, God gives to all of us different abilities and different opportunities that we can use for Him. There are some of you who have the opportunity to be more hospitable than others. There are some of you who have the opportunity to have and use your gifts of giving that others don't have the ability to do. There are some of you who are able to come and be able to serve and do things around the church that others don't have the ability to do, because if they tried, they'd just destroy everything they tried to do. Kind of like me. But God gives to all of us things that we can use in the kingdom of Christ. And He expects us that we use those for Him. And by the way, when you look at the parable, you understand that every servant understood exactly what was expected of him. Just look at their response. They went out and they gained more. One was so afraid that he would fail, he just went ahead and hid it. But he understood what was expected of him, that he would go and earn for his master. But I want you to notice something else by way of application. God never gives us more than we can handle. In the sovereignty of God, He has equipped each of us differently. And He determines our responsibilities according to our abilities. Did you get that? In the sovereignty of God, He has equipped each of us differently and determines our responsibilities according to our abilities. There are some in this room that God has given a gift to teach, and He expects them to use it in teaching. But if God didn't give you the gift of teaching, He's not coming and asking you to teach adult Sunday school. But He's asking you to use the other gifts that He has given. There are some whom God has blessed with resources to be able to help meet the needs of others. And God asks you to use those resources for His honor, for His glory, as an investment in the kingdom of Christ, for the gospel's sake. But folks, God doesn't expect you to do that if you don't have those abilities, if He hasn't supplied that way for you. Some, God has given ability to sing. Others, as one told me today, He has given the gift to be the audience for those who do sing. Everyone has their abilities. Some are really good at finances and numbers, and they can really know how to get the most out of a dollar. They understand reports and budgets and all those things. That's why they're accountants. There's other people that look at numbers and they make no sense to them. They struggle to know, do I add that or do I subtract that? Do I multiply that, divide it, or do we just throw that number away because it doesn't matter to me? Not everyone has that gift and ability, but those who have it are to use it for the Lord. But God never gives you something that you cannot handle to do. What God commands you to do, He enables you to do. That's a wonderful blessing. I think of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, and He will not tempt you to be..." "He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." God never gives you something to do that you cannot handle. Folks, I wonder if you believe that. Do you really believe that in the sovereignty of God, He has provided for you the resources to do what He has called you to do? If you believe that, then are you using those resources for Him? By the way, be careful not to be one of those people that looks at someone else and says, "I don't know how you do all that. I could never do what you do. I think you probably ought to back off a little bit. Maybe you shouldn't be doing so much. I think you're getting a little too busy." Wait a minute. If God has called them to do it, and He enables them to do it, does not He give to some 5, and to some 2, and to some 1? He gives to every one of His servants according to their several ability. You may not be able to handle what that other person handles, but believe it or not, God's called them to handle it. He didn't ask you to handle it. Be careful not to try and discourage people from doing what God has called them to do. We were online today looking at some things, and one of our friends, and she has a site. She is probably one of the most organized people I have ever met in my life. I wish I had the skills of her organization. I have never seen an individual be able to accomplish as much as she accomplishes. But she thrives on those opportunities, and she has used those gifts and those talents and those abilities for the Lord. And she is a faithful servant of God. If we were to come and pull the rug out from underneath of her, you're going to have a problem. She's going to struggle. She knows exactly what God has called her to do, and she's going to do it. And God has never given her more than she could handle. To others, you would look and say, "I don't know how she gets it all done." But to her, it's fun and it's exciting. God gives to all of us what He wants us to do, and He never gives us more than we can handle. Accept that for yourself, and accept that even for others, and encourage folks as they're serving. Can I say to you, though, if you're one who would try to discourage others from serving, make sure that you're actually doing your part in the work that God has called you to do. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 tells us that there are a diversity of gifts. And Romans chapter 12 tells us that although we are all part of one body, we all have a different function. And each one of us is to operate according to the distribution of God's gifts. But the master determines what his servants are to do and what they can handle. And each one is expected to use his master's goods. We all have a responsibility. God never gives us more than we can handle. Notice then with me the duty of the servant. The duty of the servant. Look at verse 16 and 17. It says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he also received the 2. He also gained 2 others. But he that received the 1 went and digged to the earth and hid his Lord's money." It's obvious again from their reaction that the master expected them to invest his wealth. You know, the same is true for you and I. It is expected that we use our talents and invest them for the Lord. Listen to a couple passages of Scripture tonight with me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." To those whom God has given gifts and abilities, He expects that they be used and invested in the kingdom of God. God expects us to do our part. He expects us to use our talents that He gave for His glory and for the good of man. God gave you what He wanted you to have. And folks, He wants you to put that into practice each and every day. God wants you and I to invest those talents for Him. You know what God doesn't want? He doesn't want you and I to be idle. He doesn't want us to take the talent and simply bury it in the earth. Next, I want you to notice with me the determination of the master. We find that the master, verse 19, "After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them." The master returns, and upon his return, he immediately reckons with them, where he brings things into account. And folks, I believe there is a day coming that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Can I remind you that when he comes again, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. We're going to see our Savior face to face, and we will be like him. But understand what follows. For every believer follows the judgment seat of Christ. It's a day of reckoning. It's a day of accounting in which God is going to bring your life and my life into account. Just as it is true of the servant, his desire is to reward. And he longs to reward you and me. If not, folks, he wouldn't have told you and I about the crowns that he will offer to those who are his servants. But God wants you to know, and he wants to reward. But I want you to notice a couple things with me about this determination. Number one, in this accounting, it is a personal accounting. The determinations of the master were not based on the overall performance of the servants. It was based on their faithfulness individually. See, the master didn't call all the group together and say, "Let me see how you all did. You know, as a group, good job. Some of you, you didn't really pull your weight, but you know what? Overall, everything's okay." He called each one in individually to To the one that he gave five, he said, "What did you do for me?" "Master, you gave me five. Here are five more in return." "Well done." Next, he called in the one to whom he gave two. "Master, the two that you gave me, I earned two more." "Well done." Then he calls in the one. "Master, you're a tough man. I'll tell you what, let's put it in our terms. You're a really hard boss. You have high expectations. And frankly, I was afraid. So instead of doing anything, I just did nothing so that you at least got back what you gave me. Because I didn't want to put it out there and come back with nothing. I was afraid even to try. Because let's face it, you scare me." And the master said, "You know what? I am that kind of a guy. But you should have at least taken it and put it in the bank so I could get interest. You wicked servant." But I want you to notice, it was a personal accounting. Folks, you understand that the judgment seat of Christ will be a personal accounting. Let's bring all the Christians in and see how we did worldwide. Yeah, we did pretty good. That's not what's going to happen. You will stand personally before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Savior. And He is going to bring your life into account. That's going to happen. It's a personal account. But again, I want to remind you, His desire is on that day to reward you and say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We understand what the expectations are. Use what I have given. Invest it for me." That's our duty. But it's a personal accounting. Second, I want you to notice with me this. The delight of the master and the subsequent reward of the servant was based on the servant's faithful fulfillment of his delegated responsibilities. You know what made the master happy with the two who earned? Their faithfulness. Notice what he doesn't say. "Well done, thou good and financially savvy servant. You earned me more money. Awesome job." He applauds and rewards that they were faithful. I've often wondered things. What if the guy who invested five only brought back three? Would he have said the same thing? I think he would have. Because it was based on faithfulness. God is concerned with whether or not you and I will be faithful to use that which He has given. And by the way, disapproval was based upon unfaithfulness, not performance. He said, "You're a wicked servant because you were unfaithful. I entrusted to you my talent." Understand, he didn't expect to get five from him. He would have been content with his usury, his interest. That's why he only gave him one to start. He didn't have the same abilities as the one with the five. Folks, God isn't expecting the same results from you as He is of other people. But He expects you to take what He has given you and invest it for His glory and the good of man. That's His expectation. His delight or His disapproval comes with whether or not you and I are faithful with what He gave us. See, folks, God can give you all kinds of talents that He expects you to be used for Him, and you can turn around and use them for your own self-glory. God can give you a talent to sing, and you might take that talent and use it for your own vain self-glory. And not invest it at all for the things of God. Then guess what? He's not going to be pleased. God might give you a gift of teaching and you might use that for you so that everyone could come and pat you on the back. then folks, you're not investing that for eternal things. You have your earthly reward. And God is looking for those who will be faithful unto Him. His approval and disapproval are based upon our faithfulness, not upon our performance. Let me finish off tonight by giving you an explanation of principles. Now that we've considered the exposition, I'm going to look at some important principles that I think we can glean. Tonight I want you to see four with me. Four principles tonight from this principle. From this parable. Number one, God has given to every believer at least one talent and task to do for Him. As I read through this parable, I am convinced, and by the way, as I study even through things such as spiritual gifts, I am convinced that God gives to every believer at least one talent, at least one task that He wants us to do for Him. No one's going to be able to come and blame God for not giving them a talent. To each servant He gave according to their abilities. All such blame that God never gave me any talents is simply the excuse of an unwilling servant. God has given to all of us something to do for Him. It is yours and my task to discover the talents that God has given and then use them for the Lord. The use of our talent is crucial to the success of ministry, to this ministry, especially folks in seasons of change. There's a need for the people of First Baptist Church to do what God has given them a talent to do. We are in a time of change as a ministry, as a church. We talked about that openly last week. And not everyone can do everything, but all of us can do something for the Lord. You know, there are some of you who can give your time and energy to a nursery that other people can't do. There are some of you who can sing in the church choir. There are some of you who can be involved in special music. There are some of you who can usher and greet people as they come in. There are some of you who can encourage other people. There are some of you who can give your time merely to prayer. There are some who can come and be involved. We can help with the men's breakfast, and we can cook, and we can clean up, and we can make sure that it's a blessing for all who come. We all have things that we can do for the Lord. And the reality is sometimes we begin to sit back and say, well, someone else will do that. Did God give you that ability? Then use that ability for Him. God has given to all of us an ability, a talent, a task to do for Him. Second principle I want you to see, the judgment of one's worth to the master is not determined by the number of talents that we possess, but by our faithfulness and service to Him. Folks, when you read the parable, the man with one talent wasn't condemned because he had less talents than the others. The master only gave him one. He was condemned not because he had less. He was condemned because he did less. By the way, I want you to get this. Every talent is of value. Do you know that? Every talent is of value. Your talent may never be seen or known at First Baptist Church, but it's of value. There are some that God has called us to be up front and to be seen, and everyone knows what we do. By the way, there's positives and negatives to that. There are some that God calls and puts them right behind the scenes, and nobody knows what they're doing. I got to be honest with you. Those are the people that I applaud. The people that allow things to happen around here and nobody knows how they happen, but they just happen, and only a few of us know that they happen, and I'm not allowed to say who they are because they get mad at me every time I do. It's those kind of people that make things really tick around here. And who are a huge blessing to me as the pastor and to others within our church. And you don't even know what happens. It just happens. Why? Because they have given themselves to things that they know they can do. And some volunteer of their time and nobody knows they do it. We have no understanding of what it takes place, but you're so thankful for their willingness to do it. Myself and the deacons, our staff, we can't do everything here that needs to be done. Oh, we could try, but we wouldn't be all that successful at it. We need others to come along, and no talent is of less value than another. The reason that we think that there are differences of values is because we often make the mistake of comparing ourselves to others. And we begin to easily excuse ourselves from serving because there are others who could do a better job. Well, I'm not as talented as that person. I could never be involved because I don't have their gifts or their abilities. You say, Pastor, does that really happen? You'd be surprised sometimes the responses that we get when we ask questions to people. I would like you to consider being involved in this. Oh, I don't think I could do that. Maybe you should talk to so-and-so because, let's face it, they're a much better Sunday school teacher than I could ever be. But I didn't ask them right now. I asked you. Because I think you have an ability to be able to go down and teach those little kids. Oh, no, no, no. You should talk to so-and-so. They're like one of the best Sunday school teachers the world has ever seen. That may be the case, but that person may need to sit down for a little bit. And I need you to be involved. Sometimes we compare ourselves to other people. I could never do it like they did it. I'm not asking you to do it like they did it. I'm asking you to use your ability for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I put the work by the way that we could do on the shoulders of others, we merely make them more ineffective in the work that God has called them to do. God has given to all of us a talent, and the judgment of our worth isn't on the talents that we possess, but in our faithfulness and service to the Lord. Number three, failure occurs not through lack of resources, but by lack of industry and faith. Failures occur not through the lack of resources, but by the lack of industry and faith. You know why we fail? It's not because we don't have all that we need. It's because, honestly, folks, we just don't want to work hard enough and we don't have the faith to believe that we can do it. That is often the case of failure within ministries. Our problem in the church is not that we don't have enough. Our problem is that we don't necessarily want to work, or we don't believe that God is really able. But folks, He is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto me. Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. What is required in ministry, folks, above all else, is faith. Pastor, I don't think we should go ahead. I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should make these changes. What about this ministry? What about that ministry? We don't have enough to do it. Yes, we do. Folks, if God leads us to do something, that means He has given us all that we need to accomplish that task. He's given us all the people with all the talents, all the finances that we're going to need, and the faith is all that's required for us to do it. And God is able to do it. He is. And our failure is not based on a lack that we have. It wasn't that the one with one talent didn't have enough to make more money for his master. It's he didn't have the faith, and he wasn't faithful, and he did not believe that it was possible, and he was unwilling to try and work. So he hid it away for the whole time that his master was gone. He never once used it for him. Too often, all that we offer the Lord, folks, is our lip service, but what he really wants is our service that stems from a heart of faith. And again, folks, I want to say to you that kind of service is critical in seasons of change within the ministry. And I trust that God will give us the faith to step out and do great exploits for the Lord. Here's the final principle I want you to see. A proper view of God is essential for our faithfulness. What was the problem or the difference between the servants that were mentioned? Two really understood their master well, and the other one kind of did, but not really. Two understood that he expected of them, and they went about and they did it. They had a right view of their master. The other one had a wrong view of their master. And so he hid it all and did nothing for his master. And he failed to be faithful. The problem is still the same today. Many fail to serve God because they have a wrong view of him and a wrong view of his plans. Do you understand what God or who God is? Do you understand what he expects and what he will do? Do you really understand, folks, that it is the omnipotent God who goes before us, the omniscient God who leads us, and the omnipresent God who is with us every step of the way, like we talked about this morning? We've considered those themes as of late, as we studied Psalm 139 and Joshua chapter 1. Those things reveal to us who our God is. Do you really believe that our God is holy? Because he is holy, he makes no mistake? That means that the talents that he gave you were not a mistake. Because God is holy. And that which he requires of you was not a mistake. I remember years ago sitting in Bible class at Bible college, and the Lord began working on my heart to give up what I thought I wanted to do with my life and to follow him in ministry. I was convinced at that moment in time when the Lord spoke to my heart in that class that I was in, that God missed by a seat or two, either before or around. He just got close, but he kind of missed. Lord, I think you want that guy right there, but it is not me. You got the wrong guy. And over again, he came. And for months, I wrestled with that. And he said, no, it's you. I didn't make a mistake. It's right. The question was, would I obey? And did I have faith to step out and do what God wanted me to do? Folks, our God is holy. He makes no mistake in your life or mine. And we could go through all the various attributes of our God, and we could begin to discuss those in detail. And the reality is, you and I need to know our God. But so often we fail because we don't truly know him. At least we have forgotten who he is, and we refuse to apply that knowledge to our own lives. And folks, sometimes God comes to us over and over again, and he says it to us week upon week upon week upon week upon week, and we just won't listen nor hear. I'm speaking with our youth in Sunday school about the concept of spiritual maturity. We were looking at Hebrews chapter 5 this morning, chapter 6. There's an exhortation in Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 11 through chapter 6, which basically says, the problem that they were facing is they were dull of hearing. They could not handle the meat of the Word of God. They could only deal with the milk. They were unskillful in God's Word. And the challenge is to go on to perfection, to be mature in Christ. What keeps us from maturing is often, folks, we are dull of hearing. How many times does, folks, God have to say the same thing to us individually or as a church before we listen? And we accept what his word says. I'm so thankful that he says it to us over and over again. Too often we're dull of hearing. We just don't hear, or we refuse to listen for what he has to say. We have the wrong view of our God. And folks, God would have us to understand who he is, that we might be able to serve him. He has given to all of us some gift, some talent, some ability, that it might be used for him. And he expects that they be used. Not for our selfish gain, not for the praise of men, but for the glory of our God and for the good of others. We serve within the body of Christ that we might edify the body of Christ in love one of another, that we might reach out and use those gifts and abilities that others might be brought to Christ. God has given us all a talent, a gift, an ability, something. He has at least given us some possessions that we could use for His honor and for His glory. He has entrusted all things to you. Can I remind you that everything that you own is really God's? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all is His. He owns it all. And everything that you have, in part, is a gift from God to you to be used for Him. That job He gave, those possessions you have, those abilities are all His. And He expects that they be invested for His glory and the good of man. There's a day coming, folks, when all of us will reckon with our God. And He wants to say to you and to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's His desire. I believe that with all my heart. And to those that He will say that are those who will be faithful to use what God has given to them. Let's pray together, please.